This morning I'm going to continue in the brief series about Abraham from Hebrews chapter 11. That is on page 1069 in the Church Bible. We're going to look and begin to look at the section from verses 13 to 16. This chapter lists a whole series of episodes that reflect the Old Testament and the men and women who lived by faith. And when it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, we are reading here about Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob in particular. Hebrews chapter 11, then verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare openly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that we would be in darkness had we not your word. We would remain in our unbelief and in our sin, and life would remain a total enigma to us. But Lord, you have made yourself known. You have spoken through your prophets in the Old Testament. You've spoken finally now through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've given us your word, your abiding word, in order to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. And we pray, our God, that you would lead us in the way of faith this morning and banish our unbelief and our fears and all the things that flow from unbelief. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. These four verses in Hebrews chapter 11 are like a window into the heart and mind of Abraham and his wife and Isaac and Jacob. They show us what's going on, their mentality, their frame of mind as they walked before God. And I'm going to give that mindset a particular name this morning. I'm going to call it an eternity mindset. And I hope by the end of the sermon you will understand precisely what I mean and what I think the Bible means when it talks about that frame of mind that is dominated by eternity, the thought of eternity. We have seen over the past few weeks how Abraham in particular and Sarah, how they lived by faith. Now we are informed in verse 13 that they not only lived by faith, but they died in faith, not having received the promises. That is, not having seen the fulfillment of those promises. God gave them promises, but they were not fulfilled during their lifetime. And they died still believing those promises. They had laid hold upon God. When Sarah was told she was going to conceive a child, she'd been barren all her life, she was too old, she was past the menopause, she in the end came to the conclusion that she could trust God because he was faithful. And she changed her mind. You remember how she laughed in unbelief when it was first announced to her. She said, this is ridiculous. But then she judged him who had spoken, him who had promised, faithful. And their whole life was a life of faith and obedience. Abraham lived 100 years by faith. He was 75 years old when he was taken out of Ur of the Chaldees. He obeyed the voice of God who told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees for a land that God would show him. And so he lived by faith, and he died in faith. He looked beyond death. He had an eternity perspective. We're told in Genesis 25 that when he did die, he was old man, a good old age, full of years. And I would add to that, in the light of this text, he died also full of faith, abounding in faith. And this phrase, "they all died in faith," I would suggest to you is a remarkable statement. Very few people that I am aware of in the generation in which I live die in faith. They are bitter. They are sad. They are afraid. They don't know what's around the corner. And they throw up their hands in despair. To die in faith is a rare thing. But it marked out Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson. And it is something that also marks out every true Christian. These Hebrews to whom this letter is addressed were in danger of abandoning their faith. They were in danger of not persevering, not running the race, and throwing it all aside. And one of the reasons why Hebrews chapter 11 is there is to show that men and women like Abraham and Sarah stayed the course. They ran right to the very end of their earthly life. They lived by faith and then they died in faith, not having seen the fulfillment of the promises. And to live and to die in faith, looking beyond to an eternal home in heaven with Christ in glory. That is what we are talking about when we talk about an eternity mindset. And to die in faith stands in stark contrast to the 21st century frame of mind and mindset. And I want to, first of all, in order to put this whole thing in a right context for us living today, nearly 4,000 years after Abraham, I want to remind you of the painful fact, first of all, of the helplessness and the hopelessness that we face apart from the promises of God. One of the great minds of the ancient Greek world was Aristotle. And he said this: death is a dreadful thing. It is the end. That's the wisdom of one of the greatest philosophers that has ever lived. That's all he could say. Death is the end. You sense the helplessness, the hopelessness of that kind of statement? Death for most people in the 21st century is a taboo subject. It's numbing. There's a terrible finality about it, and people are afraid of it. They don't want to talk about it, even at a funeral. I take funerals. You've been to funerals. You know someone has died, but the whole thing seems to be almost glossed over, sanitized in some way. And people don't want to make too many references to this. Why are people like that? Because there's nothing you can do. You are helpless in and of yourself in the face of death. People say things like this: we just live, we exist, we live to try and bond with people around us, we create families, those families grow up, we have a job, we work, we retire. and then we die. So pointless. And lots of people don't even think in those terms anymore. But they are bent on being entertained. Whether it's sport, whether it is the TV, videos, 101 pleasures. This world is a vanity fair, to use Bunyan's phrase in Pilgrim's Progress. It's full of vanity, emptiness, people entertaining themselves in a hope of trying to fill the vacuum and make the best of their life as it is. Any idea to our modern way of thinking, any idea of life after death, it just doesn't exist for most people. When you die, you're done for. Those are the words of Bertrand Russell. Some of you may have been around long enough to remember him, perhaps in the 50s and the 60s. He was one of the great philosophers of England, of Britain. But that's all he could say. When you die, you're done for. You return to the earth. Because all your plans and all your ambitions die with you. That's kind of the reason why death is a taboo subject. But you see, if you do not have an eternity mindset, if there's nothing beyond this life, what do? You put all your time, all your energy into what is now, your life here upon this earth. That's what becomes the most important thing about you. And so you don't think about death. You don't think about anything beyond the grave. All you do is think about this life and what you can do in order to make the best of it. But you see, with a complete absence of an eternity mindset, you are still locked into the fact that you must die. But if you begin to think too long about those sorts of things, it becomes despairing because it's hopeless, it's helpless. You can do all these things in your life, but at the end of the day, your life is going to be snuffed out. That's how people look at it. And people are shut up to the fact that there is no answer, so you don't think about it. And an awareness of mortality has been something which has underlined the human race ever since sin and death entered into this world. We live in a secular age, a skeptical age, a God-denying age, an unbelieving age, a day when scoffers deride Christianity and deride Christ and deride the idea of heaven and hell. People try to cope with it in some way. There's a couple of spiritist churches. Well, that's what they call themselves. I wouldn't call them a church, but there are a couple of spiritualists that meet in a building in Crawley. They believe you can contact the dead and speak with relatives that are lost because they're no longer with you. Others say, well, we believe in reincarnation. That's very common in the Eastern religions. But I don't want to come back as a worm or a frog or any other creature, thank you very much. The Egyptians learned how to embalm bodies to preserve them. And people with a lot of money today say when they die, deep freeze my body. What are they doing that for? In the hopes that once it thaws, it will come back to life again. You see, people are trying, they're struggling with these sorts of things. But you see, if you have no eternity mindset, if you do not have the promises of God, then everything is black, everything is gloomy, everything is despairing. It is darkness. We are helpless and hopeless in the face of death. Now, was that true of Abraham? Not at all. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob died in faith. They looked further than death. They looked beyond death. They looked outside of themselves for hope. While he lived in Ur of the Chaldees, where they worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars, he was not going to get any hope from that. That was paganism. That was idolatry. The sun, the moon, and the stars couldn't make any promises of eternal life. But God spoke to him. God spoke to him, as it were, outside of himself. And Abraham believed what God said. What was it that made the difference then for Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob? God had spoken. God had made particular promises to them concerning this life and the life that is to come. And so Abraham's life was not just any longer a journey to death, and that's it. It was a journey to a heavenly city. A city that we found described in verse 10, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But the point that I am trying to make this morning is this, that without God, and without the promises of God, and apart from the power of God, we are locked into a world where death will destroy us. But if we begin to believe the promises of God, then we begin to have answers. I would be as bold as to say that the Christian gospel that focuses upon Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, is the only true religion, because it is the only religion that has an answer to sin and to death. It explains how sin and death came into the world, and it tells us how sin and death have been conquered by Christ, so that when we die on this earth and our bodies return to dust, that is not the end of us any more than it was the end of Christ when he was put into that tomb. Because on the third day he rose from the dead. And a Christian is someone who follows Christ. A Christian is someone also who, like Abraham and Sarah, they live by faith and they die by faith. And a Christian affirms that that is the case because they believe the Bible to be the word of God. Death is not the end. When you face death as a Christian man or a Christian woman, it is with your hands fixed firmly, as it were, upon the promises of God. You grasp a hold of those. You grasp a hold of Christ, risen from the dead, because you trust in him. But if you do not trust in Christ, there is a hell. If you die without Christ, it's not eternal oblivion. It's not annihilation. It is a life in hell where there is no grace, where there is no mercy. God is present in his holiness, but he does not smile upon you in favor or in blessing. It's a place where you are forsaken, a place of eternal torment. Before I go on this morning, I want you to ask one question of yourselves. If you were to die today, what would happen to you? If you were to die today, what would happen to you? Are you living by faith? And will you die in faith? Would you die today certain, I have a place Christ has kept for me in heaven, in glory? Have you believed his promises? Have you believed in him and trusted in him? Are you on your way as a pilgrim to the city of God? Or do you, as it were, throw up your hands and say, I don't know? You can't be certain about anything beyond death. If you are a Christian, let me ask you, how different are you from the world at large? How dominant in your thinking and in your attitude to your life here on this earth, how dominant is that eternity mindset in your life? It ought to be that which calls the tune, that determines the whole mindset that you adopt. Now, I'm not going to expound in fullness these verses this morning. I want to come back and have a second look at these verses, maybe even a third look. I'm not sure at the moment. But having shown you, first of all, the helplessness and the hopelessness of life without the promises of God, secondly, I want to look at the transformation believing God's promises makes. These men and women died in faith. They did not countenance dying as futility. They did not resort to helplessness and to despair. When they died, faith triumphed in them. They had a certain mindset. Now, we have told throughout this whole chapter, the phrase keeps occurring in Abraham's life, verse 8, verse 9, verse 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, describing the way that they lived. Now, when they came to die, there's a slightly different phrase. It's not brought out in our translation. These all died in faith. These died, he says, in accordance with faith. That is the principle of faith. It's a phrase that marked out how decisive was their faith. It determined everything when it came to the point of death. They acted and lived their lives in a distinctive and different way to those around them, and they died in a different way and distinctive way to those around them. Death did not crush and invalidate and destroy their faith and trust and confidence in God. They triumphed over death because they believed the promises of God. Verse 13 tells us that even though they had not seen the fulfillment of the promises, they had the promises of God. And they were real to them. They believed them. They hung on them. They lived and died by them. They were not seeking earthly possessions and property. They were looking, as we have seen, for a city whose has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And at the end of these verses, you will see here, verse 16, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has taken them out of Ur of the Chaldees, not to find a permanent possession and property here in this world, but to take possession of a heavenly city. To be members of a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, the place where righteousness dwells. You see, the promises of God are nothing more than his revealed will, his revealed faithfulness, his revealed power. Behind every word that God speaks, you see the faithfulness of God, you see the power of God. And God has an eternal plan of salvation. And he is calling men and women out of this world to follow his son, Jesus Christ. And when Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, it was in order to take him out of that earthly city, that idolatrous city, that pagan city, and to bring him to the place where God dwelt. And God dwells with his people. The Revelation calls the New Jerusalem. You see, these men and women were word-centered, word of God-centered. They focused on what God had said. Now, I'm sure there were lots of people around them who might have entered into conversation with them, and they would have been puzzled by these people, by their faith. And I'm sure that they had their own thoughts too. Abraham had his own thoughts, his own doubts. But he worked through. He said, no, the end of the day, what matters is not what I think, not matter what other people think, it's matter what God has said, what God has spoken. And he responded to that. They were a promise-centered people. They were a faith-centered people. They believed what God said about a new world, a new heavens, a new earth. Because God had promised, and God does not lie. And they could die happy and content. Why? Because they knew that God would take care of them. They could resign themselves, trusting themselves, body and soul, into the care of a faithful and powerful God. You see, their eternity mindset, it's set upon God who is eternal. It's set upon God who has promised. The promise ultimately given to Abraham and to his descendants is not the promise of the land of Canaan. It's heaven. It's the city of God. Jesus Christ told his peers in John chapter 8 and verse 56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. How much did Abraham understand of Christ? I'm not sure that I can answer that question very fully, but he did not have a clear picture in the way that we now have a clear picture. But the Lord Jesus Christ said that he saw my day. He looked beyond the promised seed, Isaac, because the seed ultimately from Abraham is Jesus Christ. And as he looked upon Christ, and as he looked upon the promises concerning the Christ who would come, it brought confidence, gladness, and trust, and a calmness to him in the face of death. How did he believe? What did he do? Well, we're told in verse 13, although they had not received the fulfillment of the promises, they saw them afar off, were assured of them, and embraced them. The fact that he did not see the fulfillment of those promises did not invalidate them. We have a saying, don't we? Seeing is believing. Well, Abraham didn't see the fulfillment of those promises. What he did see was the fact that God had spoken, God had promised, God is faithful, God is powerful, and that was enough for him. That was enough. We are traveling home to God. That was his conviction. And death is not going to interrupt that. Death is not going to invalidate that. Death will not invalidate the word of God, the promise of God. Death will not be greater than the faithfulness of God, the power of God. And what faith does is to see those promises, is assured of them, and then grabs them, embraces them. Husbands, if you embrace your wife, you don't just come and touch her lightly, you grab a hold of her and embrace her. Well, that's what Abraham did with these promises. He grabbed hold with both arms and grabbed hold and held tight and would not let go of God, of his faithfulness and of his power. And that's what they did. And that's why they could die in faith. The crowning act of the faith of a Christian man or a Christian woman comes at the point when you die. There is a verse in one of the hymns that we sometimes sing, he who dies believing dies safely in his blood. When the Apostle Paul came to die, his last recorded words that we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, now he says, he's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's there for me and all who love his appearing. There's a man who died in faith. That was the crunch point. That was the ultimate testing point. How not do you live only, but how will you die at the point of death? Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob died in faith. Full of years, full of faith. They had this eternity mindset, founded upon the promises of God. Now there's a great deal more to be said about this, because if you have an eternity mindset, it affects the way you look at the past, it affects the way you live in the present. But I'm going to deal with that in a subsequent sermon. What I want to emphasize this morning is this eternity mindset, the hope that is set upon God. And that will bring me then thirdly this morning and lastly to the sure hope that believing God's promises brings. The sure hope. Now I've touched on this, but I want to elaborate it a little further. Remember, Abraham and Sarah lived nearly 4,000 years ago in round figures. It'd probably be more accurate, 3,750, but I'm talking in round figures. That's easier to remember. The writer to the Hebrews is wanting to encourage them to persevere in faith. Don't abandon the promises of God. Don't abandon Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has secured. Now, when we begin to speak of heaven and glory, when we begin to speak of eternal life with God, what do most modern men and women say to you? Nonsense. The common phrase, I still hear it, pie in the sky when you die. I don't know who originated that, but that's the way people put it. Richard Dawkins, one of the leading atheists, will tell you it's a delusion. It's a mirage. It's a mere figment of imagination, and the sooner you get rid of that nonsense, the better man or woman you will be. Those who may not want to go so far as the atheists of our age will say, well, you cannot know for sure. We live, we die. What happens after that? We don't know. No one can be sure. No one can be certain. Well, if you adopt that line of reasoning, then you are in effect saying God's word cannot be trusted. God is not speaking the truth. His promises don't really make any difference whatsoever. The Christianity is not a matter of keeping your fingers crossed and hoping everything will turn out okay at the end of the day. I think that's the way many people live. They just hope against hope that somehow everything will turn out okay in the end. That seems to me to be the common way people approach life and death. But Christianity, the Christian man, the Christian woman, their faith and their hope is grounded in God's infallible promises. And our thinking and our mentality is determined by those promises. And if we abandon those promises, then we become spineless. Then we become useless. And we become tossed to and fro. And there's no calmness, only panic. There's no stability. Jesus Christ has now come into this world, the promised seed of Abraham. And he has brought blessing to all the nations of the world. And it is a faith that is focused upon Abraham's seed, the promised seed, Jesus Christ, that builds our faith and establishes and grounds our faith. 2,000 years ago, he came into this world. Abraham waited 25 years for the birth of Isaac. And it was nearly another 1,500, 2,000 years until the birth of Jesus Christ. And now we've lived another 2,000 years since his coming into this world. He came into a world that is sad, a world that is fallen, a world dominated by sin and by death. But this world that we live in is not the world that God first made. When God first made it, there was no sin. There was no death. It was good, very good. It was righteous. But Adam and Eve did not remain in that state. They ate the forbidden fruit. They disobeyed God. And the day that they ate, they died. They were cut off from God. And physical death followed after that. And because of their sin, because sin and death entered into this world, when we are born into this world, we are born cut off from God. But people say death is natural. No, it's not natural. Death is an intruder. Death is a judgment of God because of sin. And it is modern man's unbelief and pride and arrogance that denies those things. But the tragedy is that unbelief and that arrogance and that pride, while they remain in that state and condition, shuts them off from any answer, from any hope. But that is not the Christian. The Christian says, no, God has spoken. Abraham believed death would not swallow him up, and that he would not enter into some kind of eternal oblivion. He knew that he would die. Yes, but he would die believing the promises of God. And God would take care of him. And God would bring him to that eternal city. He believed in the living God. And as we shall see in the next section, in connection with Isaac, he believed that God could raise the dead if that were necessary. And God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And because God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, there is our certainty. There is our hope. Because Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first one who died and rose from the dead. And all those who are trusting in him and believing in him, they also will be raised from the dead. And they will go and enter into eternal life. Now Jesus will also raise from the dead those who die unbelieving. And they must face the judgment and hell and condemnation. But you see where this is taking us, what this eternity mindset is all about. It focuses upon the promises of God. It focuses upon Christ. The Christ that we read of in Luke chapter 1. Earlier this morning, the Christ who died on the cross in order to take away the guilt of our sin, in order to turn away the wrath of God that every single one of our sins deserves. And having died, then he rose from the dead, and he will never die again. And because he will never die again, he is the resurrection, he is the life. And those who believe in him will be raised with him to life in due course. Paul puts it another way in 2 Timothy in chapter 1. The Christ has come and he has abolished death. Yes, he's abolished it. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul had an eternity mindset in the preaching of the gospel. That's what he preached. Jesus Christ, this is my gospel, the seed of David, raised from the dead. That's my gospel. That's my hope. Everything hinges upon Christ. And he said, I've been appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's my role. That's what I'm doing. I'm proclaiming Jesus Christ, proclaiming this sure and certain hope founded upon the fulfilled promises of God in Jesus Christ. Now there's still an element of those promises to be fulfilled. When we take our place in the heavenly city, that will be the time when those promises will be finally fulfilled. You see, Jesus is alive, and he's gathering in his people from all the nations of the world. And he's showing us we're here not just to live our life upon this earth and then that's it. There is a new heavens. There is a new earth where righteousness dwells, where God dwells, where Christ is the light that never is extinguished. And this message that we preach, the same message that Paul preached, the same message that the writer of the Hebrews preached, is a startling message to an unbelieving world. It fills them with amazement. It fills them sometimes with hatred. They get angry. They get upset. But my friends, take away Christ, take away the promises, take away the fact that God has spoken. What are you left with? This life. Death. And the Bible tells us, hell. Without Christ. That's why this is a startling message, because it is the only hope that we have. It's in Christ. It's in the promises of God. You lay hold of promises like the one that Jesus gave in John chapter 6. Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him has everlasting life. And then he adds, as he does in a number of other occasions, and I will raise you up at the last day. Resurrection, not reincarnation. I'm not going to come back as some beast, some animal. When Christ raises me and raises you from the dead, you will be a perfect man, a perfect woman, made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. My friend, do you have that eternity mindset? Are you a professing Christian? Do you have that eternity mindset? It is all too easy for us to be swallowed up in the business of this present life and barely to think about eternity, barely to think about our heavenly home, barely to think about where we've come from, where we are going. And we become buried in this mass of activity, human activity. But if our life is dominated by that, and we are professing to be Christians, then we need to get on our knees and repent of our sin and our folly. Because we're putting all our confidence in these things, we're taken up with these things. Yeah, you've got to live in this world. Abraham lived in this world. We pointed that out. He had to have arguments and things over wells for his animals to feed in and water. There were disputes. He had difficulties. Yes, he had all those things. We have to work our way through this world. But this world is not everything. He had fundamentally an eternity mindset. He had laid hold of the promises of God with both hands. And he had no intention of letting go of God or of his word. And that determined a distinctive, godly life. We will see. They confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This world is not my home. Heaven is my home, where God is. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, they died in faith. If you die believing in Jesus Christ, trusting in him to take care of you, to raise you from the dead, and to bring you to glory with himself, then you die too in faith. The day of your death is a date, if I may put it this way, that Christ has written in his diary. Christ will be there the day you leave this world. The Bible talks very sensitively about falling asleep in Jesus, safe in his arms. The picture is that of a mother with a baby in her arms, rocking that child to sleep. You fall asleep in Jesus. That's not eternal oblivion. That's eternal happiness. Christ will be there. Christ, the eternal Son. He will bring you to glory at his appearing. You'll be with him. You'll be like him. You'll worship him. You'll adore him. You'll be able to talk to him. You'll be able to ask him all sorts of questions. And he will give you all the right answers, reassuring your heart. How will you die? Bunyan has a number of little stories at the end of his Pilgrim's Progress. He was ready to halt. He'd gone through many difficulties, but he said, "Welcome life," as he came to death. His feeble mind, "Hold out faith and patience." There was despondency who cried out, "Farewell night, welcome day." And was even daughter much afraid. Went through the river singing. No one could understand what she was singing, but she was singing. That was Mr. Steadfast. "I see myself at the end of my journey. My toilsome days ended. I'm going to see that head crowned with thorns. That face spit upon for me." That's something of what it means to die in faith. Trusting in Christ. May God by his Spirit grant us that eternity mindset, focused upon God's promises as they come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, we marvel at the prospect set before those who trust in your promises and trust in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of your promises. An eternal hope, an eternal home with Christ, with God, and no sorrow, no sin, no pain, no death, only righteousness, only light, no darkness, only truth, and no lies. Lord, we marvel and pray that you would give us grace to cultivate that eternity mindset while we live on this earth, that we might live in faith and die in faith, and thus glorify our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to whom we owe everything. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.